So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And so it was that when he returned, having received the king's kingdom, he then commanded his servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, master, your mina has earned 10 minas. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in very little, have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, master, your mina has earned 5 minas. Likewise, he said to him, you also be over 5 cities. Then another came, saying, master, here is your mina, which I have kept, put away in a handkerchief, for I feared you because you are an austere man. You collect what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, that by coming I might have collected it with interest? And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to him who has 10 minas. But they said to him, master, he has 10 minas. For I say to you that to everyone who has will be given, and from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. But bring here those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, and slay them before me. When he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he drew near to Bethphage and to Bethany, at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tied, on one which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went their way and found it just as he said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owner of it said to them, why are you loosing the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of him. Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then as he was now drawn near to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, teacher, rebuke your disciples. But he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. Now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side, and level you, and your children within you, to the ground, and they will not leave in one stone, they will not leave you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. Then he went on into the temple and began to drive out those who had bought and sold it, saying to them, it is written, my house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And he was teaching daily in the temple. But the chief priests and the scribes and the leaders of the people sought to destroy him, and were unable to do anything, for all the people were very attentive to hear him.
Thank you. Any thoughts?
God is good.
We're going to approach you from God is good. Okay, that's
well, helpful. We know that he's very loving and cares for the lost as well as his own. There are quite a passage.
The whole reason why he's here is because he came in love. So the whole thing's about a message of love and redemption, and he wants to reveal himself to us. I know we talked, hold on a second here, let's just pray. Not just pray, but Father, just pray, Lord, that you would just settle my heart before you, and that you would speak to our hearts the things that you want us to hear. Lord, that your word would be living and active and moving in our lives, so that when we leave here, Lord, you may get the glory in our lives, and that you would be able to live your life through ours, so that the world around us could see you, Jesus. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I don't have my computer, so I don't get called Wilson. I'm sitting behind it today, you know, hiding. The reason why, I know we went over the parables last time I shared, and I had shared with you, there were three reasons why Jesus decided to, at that time, to share. It says that in verse 13, as they heard these things, he spoke another parable because. And there's two reasons given. One was that he was drawn near Jerusalem, and I asked you to hold that off because we're going to look at that this week. And then the other one was because they thought the kingdom of God was going to appear immediately. And then I asked you to look back at verse 9, where it said, the Son of Man came to seek and save that which is lost. And so we start this whole thing with understanding that Jesus came. He spoke these things, first off, because they had misunderstanding. His time was coming, and he was there to save the lost. And he was the one who's seeking and the one to do the saving. And I bring this out because the parable also, basically, kind of, if you look at what we're going into today, actually comes into it because the nobleman's coming in and presenting himself. So we talked about that in the parables, that when the nobleman came and the citizens didn't want him, he left the delegation behind, right? So we have Jesus coming in and actually walking out the parable we just talked about, mourning, trust, and talking to everyone. That is, if you think what he offered was legitimate at the time. And I do. So I'd like to basically look at verses 28 to 48 today, and I know I can't cover everything that probably a lot of you know, but we're going to be reading it in three different versions, because some of the versions bring out some things that I think are really neat, but that's going to be at the end. So as we go through here, we'll just go through it. It's in verse 28, it says, when he went ahead, going on to Jerusalem, and it came to pass that when they drew near to Bethpage and Bethany, at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Loose it, bring it here. If anyone asks, why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it. Anybody want to be one of these disciples? Just a question. What did Jesus just ask them to do? Anybody want to go down and get a brand new car for me? I need it today. I mean, literally, that's what Jesus was asking them. And it's interesting because if we see the heart of the Lord, he gives them the... Could you imagine being the owner coming back in your colt going? And donkey? But you see that the Lord prepared him, he prepared them with a message for him to give him peace to know that his goods weren't stolen. Okay, so the Lord goes before him, but what we're told here is when they show up, those who sent their way found it just as he had said. Now, we'll look in, I believe it's the Amplified version that said he sent them on a mission. So we had two missionaries going on a journey. So sometimes people who are being sent on a missionary journey don't always go with the words first. They have something that the Lord sent them to do. And I'm not telling you that God tells missionaries to go steal. I'm telling you that he has something prepared for them, that he lets them know ahead of time that when they show up, they'll find his words will be true. And just as he has said it, it's the way it's going to be. And so as he's sending each of us out daily, we have to remember all the promises he said that have come true. And just as Jesus getting ready to enter into his trial, that Tammy said, we all have trials. We all have them. But he went through it. He kept his face, as we talked about before in Isaiah, he set his face like a flint to Jerusalem. But this is important to understand. So if you want to build up your faith walking in the Lord, and as he's speaking to your heart, as he's speaking to you and showing and sharing with you things, little things, go and tie a colt. The cool thing is, do you know what he did, the most important thing these guys, disciples did? And they're unnamed. Not that it matters. To go loose. To set free. To bring something that's tied up and bring them to the Lord. And that's our goal as believers, and the desire is to see this world that's captivated and tied up to be set free. And the answer is to take that and untie it and loose it and bring it to Jesus. Whatever that, whoever you encounter, we have the opportunity. The scriptures say, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And we're all free up to free everyone else up. As we let Jesus lead us and direct us, his desire is for us to have peace, to have joy. It's the whole purpose why he came. It's what we're going to be continuing to look at. And so then he said in verse 34, the Lord has need of them. And they brought him to Jesus. And they threw their own clothes on the colt and sat Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. And as they were drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and to praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that has been seen, saying. Well, I just want to stop here real quickly and just show just a little brief little glimpse of this is what worship is. It says they rejoiced and praised God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen Jesus doing. And the truth is for worship to be inspired in us, we need to see what Jesus is doing. In our lives, through our lives, and as Tammy said, we need to come to a place in faith that I understand that Jesus is working in your lives and trusting him that he's doing what he's supposed to do in your lives as I'm hoping he's doing in mine. I don't have to worry about it. If he's in control of my life, he's in control of yours. So, and he's faithful to complete the work he's begun in each of us. So we can entrust the Lord with each other that he's faithful. I don't have to trust Kent. I don't trust myself most of the time, but I can trust him that he will lead us. But so be looking for the things the Lord's doing. So if you want to be a person of praise and worship, it helps to see Jesus. And to see him for who he is and what he's continuing to do. Not just in the past, but day by day walking with him. So what are they saying? Blessed is he, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And so they brought him to a place we all understand that this is Palm Sunday. And if we read in the other Gospels, we'll read that they were setting palms down. But I did find it was interesting that some of the disciples put their clothes on top of the donkey and Jesus sat on them. And the only thing I could like mentally just picture is the mercy seat of God. That like where he's seated on the mercy seat and it's covered. I know there's symbolizations with the donkey and I don't have enough clarity to give that out, but it was one animal. Well, I won't even get into it. But then some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. But he answered and said to them, I tell you, if these would keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. Here's the problem with religion. Here's the problem with us as religious people. The people who were just walking freely, worshiping the Lord, what did they say? Call him. What were they called? What was called? How did they see Jesus when he was coming in riding on a donkey?
King.
What did the religious people who knew more better and should have known all the verses and all the things about his coming, what did they call him?
Teacher.
Well, first off, there's not too many people who look at a teacher and is going to tell the teacher what to tell his students. But that's where religion comes in, and that's the problem with us, that sometimes we might not enjoy the things that are going on, and we start judging based on intellect rather than understanding the heart and tenor of God and what he's doing and moving in people's lives without having complete understanding. So they really were falsely calling him teacher because they were trying to tell him what to teach. And religion will try to box you in to silence the people who are praising God rather than just letting them free. And they, because they can't find it in their place to come to a place to call him king, they want to dictate your life and have him bind you up. And I think we've all found that in religion, that many times when you feel free in the Lord and he's moving and leading you in direction, that people are trying to calm you back and get you intellectual and steal you. But he came, he drew near. It said that as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had any have known, even you, especially this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an encampment around you and surround you and close you in on every side and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave you in one stone upon another because you did not know the time of your visitation. That seems pretty rough. Does it seem, when Jesus is talking here, does it seem to you that they should have known what was all going on here at this time? Yes, no?
Well, I would say they should have known because by this point, I don't know the number, but he had fulfilled like a multitude of prophecies that were all through the Old Testament.
Right.
But like you were saying, religion blinds people's eyes.
Right.
And they can't see what the Lord's doing by faith.
And
they're walking by sight.
Right. I think they were supposed to know because he said you did not know the time of your visitation. And I just say that because a lot of people will teach and say some different. If you look at, I'm not getting into Daniel 9:24. I just want you to understand that a lot of people will go to Daniel 9:24, count up all the number of days from the day of the decree to release the rebuild. I can't own it, so I can't sit here and share it to you. But a lot of people come up with a number that the day Jesus is coming in, and that number matched, and that's why he said, this is the day of your visitation. You missed it. So it seems like, I just point that out there because, and the problem is the people who are smarter than I all don't agree, so why sit there and try and bring a point on it? There's a teaching in what's here, what the Lord's trying to teach us without even really understanding if that was the exact day or not. Okay? The point is Jesus wept because he came to bring peace, and now it's hidden and blinded, and destruction's coming. Then he went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in it, saying to them, it is written, my house is a house of prayer, but you made it a den of thieves. And he was teaching daily in the temple, but the chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people sought to destroy him and were unable to do anything, for all the people were very attentive. Okay, so all of this, what Jesus is talking about here in verses, he talks about the destruction in verses 43 down to 44, this all took place in 70 AD. Right? Jerusalem was destroyed, they were surrounded, and it took place. So the question is, as we're reading Scripture, we're reading it from the Lord, He's speaking, He's talking to us, but these things are 2,000 years old. And if it's fulfilled, is there anything here for me? Is the Word living and active and sharper than two-edged sword? Is there something for me that the Lord wants me to learn from this today? And I don't know about you, but He spoke to me, so, and I'm here, so you have to hear it. We're leaving. No. But it's a living, walking relationship with our Lord, with an understanding that He came to seek and save that which is lost. He wants to tell me things because I don't understand, to bring me to a point that I can understand and know the time of my visitation. Why? Because He doesn't want destruction. He came to seek and save that which is lost. So is there anything in here for you? When you read this, I mean, it's 2,000 years old. What comes alive to you when you read these verses?
Well, what He's saying is to these religious leaders, so I don't count myself in with that fact. You know, they were believers. And even a lot of the people thought He was, they didn't see it as a spiritual thing, but as something that He was going to free them from, the oppression of, the ruling.
So if that's, he's not just talking, I don't think He's just talking religious leaders, because even the people who are out there, Hosanna in the highest,
we're
still yelling Barabbas.
I think the hard words are hard toward them, and He's really almost turning up the hatred, because He's exposing their hatred, really.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying things that are just outrageous to them, like, we mean the rocks are going to cry out for you. That must have just made them, they just wanted to destroy Him after that. He's exposing this hatred, and because His day is coming near,
He exposed their self-importance.
He exposed
their self-importance. So the other thing is, about the donkey, the Bible pulls things up as he sent them to go pick up the donkey, and He prepared the way before them, and prepared the person to be able to see those words, and that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Lord does for us too. So they did step out of faith to walk it out, but He had prepared what the donkey before. Who knows? The owner may have seen a vision. The owner may have been in the crowd before and become a believer. Who knows? We don't know. But the Lord knows. The Lord did the whole thing set up. Like for us to leave, the Lord draws us to go do something, and He's prepared the way.
And you're going to find it the way He said.
Okay.
Right? And the neat thing is He gave them light, and He also gave them later light. So that as they walked in the A of going, they got to go to the B section of setting. So when you're walking out in your life and the things the Lord's showing you, He's going to give you an opportunity to speak the things He's told you to say as well. And so it's progressive. He wants to give you something to talk about. It's a life walked. It's a life lived. And the beauty of seeing who He is and proclaiming Him and what He's done. Were you
I was thinking one thing about the donkey. It said they put their own clothes on the donkey. And, when you come to Jesus, we crucify the flesh with its passions.
Mm-hmm.
And He robes us in righteousness. So I think there might be a picture there of that those that are progressively knowing Jesus, they put their own clothes down. And they took His robe of righteousness. And I think that could be a picture in there of that.
Chris?
What if you take the whole parable and lay it over this part? The people with the 10 minas are the people that go get the donkey because their faith is strengthened. Then there's a group of people with 5 minas because they're dancing and praising the Lord. And then there's the one unfaithful servant, which is the religion, that God says, what you have, I'm going to take away, And then 70 years later, he says, bring them before me, they're going to be destroyed. So it's all right there, laid out in that same.
Right. It's all pictured out. That's why I said the parable, the walk, he walks out the parable ring before him and allows it to be brought forth.
I think there's something also. Sometimes the Holy Spirit puts some kind of problem. I like to impress that. That's awesome.
I know.
Sometimes, like, does the Lord need something? I think there's something there. I don't know what it is. But God has no need. But he put that there to draw attention to something. He wants to show us something, but I don't know what it is.
I'm going to hit a side thing.
I know he doesn't have any need.
So I was just reading this morning, this track with me here, so it sounds like I'm off on that field. But when Stephen was being stoned, those who stoned him took their cloaks and laid them down, and Paul washed their cloaks. And so there's something like very personal and like, they're my cloaks kind of thing. And so for them to take their personal cloaks and surrender them and lay them on this dirty donkey, this service animal, you know, perhaps there's a...
I think there's a picture of, like, we're taking his robe of righteousness and we're laying down. That's really a neat study through Scripture. If you notice, all over the place, God is clothed in, like, he's clothed in righteousness. He's, you know, it's just, if you follow that through Scripture, he's clothed.
And even lay it down for the donkey to walk on.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah,
that
that's all there, too.
Yeah, yeah.
So as far as God not having any peace,
what's that?
As far as God not having any need, I actually think that he has, in a sense, you know how Jesus put off his divinity to condescend to us. I think God, by his own creating of us, created a situation where he was fulfilling some desires that he wanted in us. And so he's kind of set this up where we can even hurt him. We can even, we can you know, there's things that he allows us affection. And so, yeah, he doesn't really have any needs, but he does have desires that he himself has chosen to have.
Yeah.
I think we're all fantastic. So, maybe.
Grieve.
Do not grieve the Holy Spirit.
Why? But see, he's chosen to put himself in that position, and that's amazing. Because God, I mean, he could be like, we're just ants, squashed, done, next. But he's not. He chooses not to be that way. He chooses to be...
Butterflies are much prettier than
very intimate,
very personal. Going on with something else. So I'm going to share with you how the Lord spoke directly to me. And it comes out a lot of ways. Well, I'm just going to read these versions, and then you'll find out why we have him read all the time. But anyway, Amplified, Carol's favorite, right? Okay, so the Amplified from Luke says, I'm going to go to verse 38 because everything's pretty much the same before that. If you just want to follow on, verse 38 says, crying, blessed as he's coming, praises in the king, with is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven. And I love this. Because Amplified means it's trying to bring out the fullness of what the verse, what peace in heaven means. Freedom from all the distresses and experienced that are experienced by the result of sin. That's when they're saying praise the Lord, praise peace in heaven. They're saying freedom from all the distresses that are experienced as a result of sin, and glory, majesty, and splendor in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from the throng said to Jesus, Teacher, reprove your disciples. He replied, I tell you that if these keep silent, the very stones will cry out. All these are fulfilling the prophecy. Like, and I could go back and we could look at all them and you could have a nice study on them. Awesome study, actually. And he replied, I tell you that these will keep silent, the very stones will cry out. And as he approached, he saw the city and he wept audibly over it, exclaiming, would that you, and I want you to hear what he's saying, because if you take it personally, it's important. Would that you had known personally, even at least in this your day, the things that make for peace, for freedom from all the distresses that are experienced as the result of sin, and upon which your peace, your security, safety, posterity, and happiness depends. But now they're hidden from your eyes. For a time is coming when the enemies will throw up a bank with pointed stakes about you, surround you, and shut you in on every side. And they will dash you and down to the ground, you, Jerusalem, and your children within you, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another. All because you did not come progressively, that's why I laughed when you said that, when you did not come progressively to the recognize and know and understand from observation and experience the time of your visitation. That is, when God was visiting you, the time in which God showed himself gracious towards you and offered you salvation through Christ. Then he went to the temple. I don't know if you caught the differences between those verses, but I really liked how it was talking about when Jesus comes and offers and presents himself to you, the purpose is to bring about peace, because he is our peace. It's not emotional and feeling, but it's a person and knowing him. We have peace with God. But I love when it says that here it says that which God was when God was visiting you, the time in which God showed himself gracious towards you. Do you guys like mentally picture those times? Can you look back when God visited you and graciously revealed himself to you and offered you salvation through Christ every day? That's our only salvation. And moment by moment, day by day, resting and believing, trusting completely on his finished work. He's going to complete it in you until the day of Christ Jesus. Now, I'd like to read to you Kenneth Wiest, the Bible scholar, Greek scholar, and he just was able to do the New Testament. Kind of like the Amplify a little more, but it's four books just for the New Testament. So get ready, I'm going to read it all. I'm going to just read this to the end. But it says, and having said these things, back to verse 28 of Luke, it says, he kept on proceeding on his way ahead. I underline this because the neat thing is remember, Jesus had purposed in his heart to walk out everything that the Father had shown him. And the purpose for what he was here for was to go to the cross for you and I. So, knowing that they didn't understand, and knowing that they weren't really getting it, and knowing that they didn't understand their timing, he kept on proceeding. See, he's faithful. He'll complete the work he's done. Ascending to the slope to Jerusalem. And it came to pass as you're near Bethpage and Bethany in the mount called Olivet, he sent two disciples on a mission. And going to the village opposite the Trenton, found a colt securely tied upon which no man ever had yet set. And having loosed it, bring it. And if anyone asks you, why are you loosing it? Say to them as follows. He was pretty specific. Say what I tell you to say. The Lord is having need of it, and having gone off, those who were sent on the mission found it just as he had told them. Now while they were untying the colt, the master said to them, why are you untying the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of it. And they brought it to Jesus and placed their garments upon him, and they stood, and he was proceeding on the way. Continue. So if you go down to verse 41, not much difference said in there. As he came near, having caught sight of the city, he burst into tears, weeping audibly over it, saying, if you had known in this your day, even you, things tending towards your peace, but now are hidden from your eyes, for there shall come a day and such a character upon you when your enemies shall throw up a rampart before you and encircle you and exert pressure on you on every side. And they shall raise your city to the ground, both you and your citizens in you, and you shall not leave a stone upon another. And I like this part. It's because you did not recognize the strategic, epical season of God's grace, God's gracious overseeing care and offer for help. That's our Lord. Everything He offers, it's a strategic, epical season of God's gracious overseeing care offered to help for you. It's beautiful.
Perfect timing.
Thank you, Jesus. And that's why I wanted to just read that, because for me, I can't go back to 70 AD. I can't mess up and miss that visitation. But I'm told that Jesus said that I will never leave you nor forsake you. And today, if I will hear His voice, don't harden my heart as the day and then rebellion. You see, because today is the day that Christ wants to visit you and bring you peace. Whether you've been walking with Him for a couple years, a day, it's to offer you peace. So when I come to the Word and I see the things that Jesus said, because I didn't receive the time of my visitation, the enemy's going to come and try to tear me down. Guess what happens when I don't walk by faith, trusting the Lord that He says, hey, call and I'll hear. Come, the door's open. Knock, it'll be given to you. When I don't do that and I take my eyes off the Lord and don't understand these things, the enemy is already at work, building an encampment around you, waiting to tear you down. Because when you don't walk by faith, you have no peace. When you're looking at your own circumstances, the enemy is going to rip you apart day by day, whether it's as the religious leaders going by their own understanding and trying to follow Jesus legalistically by the law and not understanding His heart of love. Or some of us, we just worship in Jesus and still don't have Him right. When we take our eyes off Him and don't understand these things, the enemy's there just to rip you off. To take away your peace, to take away your joy, to take your eyes off of Jesus. And so and then it comes in and says, and He went into the temple. And so when we start talking about temple, we don't have a building. This is a building that we meet where 20 to 30 or whatever of temples come together as one. You are the body of Christ. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You, today, are walking in the fullness of the Godhead bodily as you allow Him to live His life through you. If I look at circumstances like Peter, I mean, I can walk on water if I keep my eyes on the Lord, He tells me. But when I take my eyes off Jesus, what happened to Peter? He sunk. When they didn't understand the time of their visitation, what happened? They were destroyed. And our joy is ripped off and stolen, and it just, you feel like you're drowning when you're not surrendering and keeping your eyes on the Lord, walking by faith. It's a simple truth and reaction of how this life is. When I'm walking, believing, trusting, knowing that Jesus is with me, and there's nothing anything can do to me, because I know where I'm going, and it's a finished work and completed, what do I have to fear? Because He's in control. He's leading. He's bringing us to a place, the city of Jerusalem, the city of peace. He wants to take us in a place of peace. But no, whether you believe or not, the enemy is there to destroy you. That's the truth. He wants to tear you down and rip out every building block that the Lord's done in your life when we don't rest and trust in the work of the Lord. I can't trust in man, I can't trust myself, but I can trust in His Word and His completed work. And so when I come here, I see that he, right, since the temple began to drive him out. Why? Because the house is a house of prayer, but you made it a den of thieves. And I love the fact, well, it's supposed to be a house of prayer, right? But a lot of times the den, other versions call it a cave, it almost seems like the secret hidden things that are within that are trying to rip you off start working. And Jesus wants it driven out of your life. What are the little things that are trying to just get in the way of just worshiping and resting, walking with Jesus? These people are making money off worshipers, making a living. But these are the things that naturally happen, but the Lord wants to be driven. And it all takes place in understanding your visitation. That He comes to give you peace. That He wants to be with you. That you're walking daily in the awareness of who that He's with you. That He wants to lead you, guide you, and direct you. And guess what? When He followed His Father's will, it took Him to a cross. He wasn't saying kumbaya. He was saying, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And so don't think when I tell you these things that surrender and walking by faith is going to give you a happy, pretty life. You're going to have the peace that passes all understanding. And you might be lucky enough that you'll fall asleep one day and wake in His presence. Or a testimony like Stephen who could look up and fall asleep as he's being saved. I don't know. I do know that we are promised that when we surrender and walk with Him, that just as He suffered, we will suffer. But it's for His glory and His honor and His praise. In the meantime, whether I'm trying to be toward what you, the enemy's trying to tear you down, the Lord's here to build you up, to establish you, to settle you, and to bring you peace. It all comes through knowing Him and opening yourself up and realizing He came to seek and save that which is lost. He came to help your misunderstanding. He came to offer Himself. And that's His desire for you today. He offers Himself to you completely and open. Hebrews 4, you can read it. They could not enter His rest because of unbelief. But it says today if. It doesn't say today if God speaks. It says today if you will hear His voice. Don't harden your hearts. Rest and believe. Is it easy? If your eyes are on Him. So I just encourage you just to know today is the day of the visitation for you. I mean, He might at any point He could come again. That was a legitimate offer when He came for the Jews. If they would have accepted Him, it was legit. Okay? He didn't come down here and do all this stuff, and that wasn't even a real offer. And there's no offer in the Scriptures that He's not offering to you that isn't legit, that isn't real, that isn't something you can bank and count on that He's going to do the work. Everything He offers is available. And all you have to do is enter in. We're told in Hebrew, look, Jesus' heart was to seek and save what was lost. In Hebrews 12, it's a verse that really impacted my life, that we're to strengthen the hands that hang down, the feeble knees. And then it says, let me just turn there, because you would think I could memorize stuff. It's easy to memorize if you don't read three or four different versions now. So they tell me. Alright. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people, without which no one will see the Lord. That simple. You see people hurting? Help. Because if we don't step out of the love of God working in our lives, they'll never see the love of God. Because Christ is in you. In us. So as I see someone hurting and I step into that role and say, how can I help? It's actually Christ doing the work in you. And then the world around them can see the love of God working through your life. And then they know that God's real, that He's working, He's living and active. And you know they're my disciples for the love they have for one another. So as they see you walking in the love that God has for us, they can't deny that God's alive. Then they just got to decide whether they want to submit and surrender and walk in joy. Any thoughts? You can tear away from what I got out of it. I don't mind. I know the Lord, I know we're in stressful times, and if you look at those scriptures, then we can see that it shouldn't. Well, we know that from the scriptures, at any moment He can come back. But if He does, there's a lot of people not going to be happy. And we have an opportunity to be a light to them as the Lord's being a light to us. When He sends, listen and be open for the visitation. All we have to do is come boldly to His throne of grace in time of need that we might receive mercy and grace. When is that? Always. So they only had one time to get it right. You have every moment of every waking hour and sleeping while you have breath in your life to enter in to His presence by faith and enjoy that the walk that He's given you for peace. And that's all I have. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody? Yes. About a wild colt. Those who know me know my testimony about King James Version and Peter. I don't remember the verse where it says that God spoke through a dumbass. I'm sorry, not to be disrespectful, but I actually felt like, oh my gosh, the Lord can use me. Well, guess what? You want the Lord to speak through a dumbass? Take the donkey to Him when he's never been ridden before, and let Jesus ride Him and teach Him. Let Him take them to Jerusalem for the peace for everybody. Let them young ones be taken right to Jesus and let Jesus ride. It's not Carrie Underwood. Take the wheels, take the reins. You drive, you ride me through the life that you have for me. And I know it's going to bring me to peace and rest. So. Any other thoughts? Thanks for putting up with me. We're going to have guest speakers when tomatoes come out. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You.
Frozen rotten.
What?
Frozen rotten. That's what tomatoes.
Frozen rotten tomatoes. Isn't it awesome that we don't have hail of them coming down on us every day? Thank You. Father, we do thank You. And it's fun that we don't have to take ourselves seriously, but we can take You at Your word. Lord, we just pray that You would just settle Your word in our hearts that you would establish each of us, that you would build up our faith, Lord, that we would just want to just, I mean, the Word just teaches us to get to know you, so just spur within us a greater hunger to know you more and to make you known. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.